Welcome to Real Conservative Talk. You are now entering an unsafe space.
Welcome back to the RCT podcast. Remember, if you haven't already, go subscribe to our Substack, which is the RCT Report, and I will put the link to that Substack in the description of this podcast. Again, it's free. You don't have to pay. You can go read all the content. A lot of the topics that we discuss on the podcast are written about on the RCT Report and more, by the way, and it's free. If you want to pay the $5 paid subscription, that is up to you, and you would just be doing so in support of the podcast so we can keep providing you with very good content. Now, I'm going to first off cover the big story for today before I go into the main topic I want to talk about, which is the hiring of migrant workers by Tyson Foods. I have a whole theory, but I think it's pretty based in fact in my, I think it's going to blow your mind. But first I want to talk about Donald Trump. So Donald Trump was at a rally and he stated that if he wasn't elected, it was going to be a bloodbath in the United States. The mainstream media has taken this not only out of context, but they are trying to exploit this statement. like he's some kind of he's threatening some kind of mass murder or something. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to play the clip of Trump and you can see for yourself the context that he used this expression in. When I saw these stories coming out, I immediately knew, even by the media's headlines, just because I think I have a little bit of common sense, but most people reading mainstream media still probably don't, that he was using the word bloodbath as an expression, like a lot of people do. But here's Trump, and here's the full clip on his statement from earlier.
The United Auto Workers never probably shook hands with a Republican before. They're destroying. You know, Mexico has taken over a period of 30 years, 34% of the automobile manufacturing business in our country. Think of it. Went to Mexico. China now is building a couple of massive plants where they're going to build the cars in Mexico and think that they're going to sell those cars into the United States with no tax at the border. Let me tell you something to China. If you're listening, President Xi, and you and I are friends, but he understands the way I deal, those big monster car manufacturing plants that you're building in Mexico right now, and you think you're going to get that, you're going to not hire Americans, and you're going to sell the cars to us. Now, we're going to put a 100% tariff on every single car that comes across the line, and you're not going to be able to sell those cars. If I get elected, now, if I don't get elected, it's going to be a bloodbath for the whole, that's going to be the least of it. It's going to be a bloodbath for the country. That'll be the least of it. But they're not going to sell those cars. They're building massive factories. A friend of mine, all he does is build car manufacturing plants. He's the biggest in the world. I mean, honestly, I joke about it. He can't walk across the street. In that way, he's like Biden. But for building a plant, he can do the greatest plants in the world, right? That's all he cares about. I said, I'd like to see one of your plants recently. I said, I'd like to see, where can we go? Well, we have to travel to Mexico. I said, why Mexico? He said, because that's where the big plants are building. China's building really big plants in Mexico, and Mexico's building. What about here? Well, we're building much smaller plants here. Can you believe it? Can you believe it? So what they're saying, Jim Jordan, is that We're going to make cars in Mexico, and they're going to do it. You're not going to stand for that, Bernie, J.D. I have a feeling J.D.'s not big into that policy. 100% tariff. They won't sell any cars over here. And I'll tell them, if they want to build a plant in Michigan, in Ohio, in South Carolina, they can, using American workers, they can. They can't send Chinese workers over here, which they sometimes do. But they, if they want to do that, we're welcome, right? But they're not going to build them in Mexico, and they're not going to do that. We're going to tariff them at 100%, just like I've done. I saved the steel industry. The people that like me the most are the steel companies. But now I've been out for a little while, and guess what? United States Steel, 50 years, 60 years ago, maybe the greatest company in the world, was just sold to Japan.
All right. So, again, I let the whole clip play out so you could get an understanding of everything that he said and see that he was referring to more of an economic situation and was using the term bloodbath in relation to describe what the situation would be if Biden were to get reelected because of all the negative things that has happened with certain industries under Biden. That's all. He wasn't threatening any physical harm under anyone. That is ridiculous. But allow me to read some of these news headlines for you. And a lot of it, we know they do clickbait and all that, but they are even going on television. And Biden himself even made a statement discussing how this was some, you know, violent threat. Again, you have NBC News. Trump says there will be a bloodbath if he loses the election. New York Times. Trump says some migrants are not people and predicts a bloodbath if he loses the election. Politico, reaction to Trump's speech. When is a bloodbath not a bloodbath? NPR, Trump says some migrants are not people and warns of a bloodbath if he loses the election. The Independent, Trump says U.S. will see, okay, at least they say Trump will see, Trump says the U.S. will see economic bloodbath if he's not reelected. At least they made a title that was honest about what Trump was saying. This is ridiculous. This, and by the way, they have, you. I saw on Twitter earlier where someone had gone back and put a collection of old videos in 2020 of all of these same mainstream media outlets saying that the election was going to be a bloodbath and a slaughter. So they use the exact same terminology to describe certain events and the outcomes of these events. Does not need to be a violent threat. It's just a expression. But you have those people who just lack the common sense, or they are so against Trump that they're just willing to ignore any sense of reality and not go even go and look up the actual clip themselves when it exists, because I just showed it to you, to get what the facts actually are. And I actually experienced this myself, and I still am laughing about this. Now, when it comes to the Tyson Foods hiring potentially 42,000 New York migrants, there was a Twitter post that I replied to, and someone had put that news story up. And I immediately correlated it to the Letitia James lawsuit against JBS, which is Tyson's competitor. And what I said was that Letitia James was using these lawsuits to coerce Tyson and JBS Foods into hiring these migrants. And we're going to go into this in a second. And I'll explain why and my justification behind this. Because no one's covering this. Everyone says, oh, Tyson Foods bad. They're hiring 42,000 migrants while laying off around 2,000 Americans. And that's true, by the way, 100% true. But there's more details that are even more disturbing in that story. And we're going to cover that. And no one is even connecting this. But I replied to this Twitter post regarding this topic. And again, I stated my concern and how she's using legal lawfare in the form of civil lawsuits against private industries to coerce them into achieving desired outcomes. And immediately this person replies to my tweet, calling me a liar, because in the original comment, which by the way, I try not to go back and delete any of my tweets, nor do I try to delete any of my comments. If I say something, I say something. If I made a mistake, I made a mistake. I'll admit I made a mistake. I had accidentally misspoken, said that her suit was against Tyson Foods instead of JBS, which it wasn't. Now, this person called me out on it, and they were right because the suit was against JBS and not Tyson. And they said that I was just an immediate liar. Now, I had posted links to the podcast episode I did 2 weeks ago when Letitia James filed her lawsuit against JBS Foods. Some of you that listen to the podcast will remember that. And all I did on that podcast was I went through the actual writing of the Attorney General for the state of New York and Letitia James herself regarding her own lawsuit against JBS Foods. That's all I did was describe it and say what I thought, was the reason for the lawsuit and how it was dangerous. And it had nothing to do with Tyson Foods and them hiring migrant workers. It had nothing to do with this new theory that I have at all, because that didn't even exist yet. This was an episode 2 weeks ago. And I posted a link to that old podcast to give people more information about the lawsuit that I was now tying into and correlating to the news story. And this person called me a liar, saying that I was completely wrong in everything I said on the podcast, and that I made up this entire correlated scenario trying to involve Letitia James and Tyson Foods hiring these migrants. And I sat there and thought, and I replied to the person, I'm like, so you didn't even listen to the podcast and you're telling me I'm wrong? Like, right there and then, you're accusing me of being wrong and spreading misinformation, and you're accusing me of the misinformation that I put in there is somehow related to the current news story. And the podcast that I posted was from 2 weeks before the story ever existed. So I immediately knew right away that this person had went and viewed 0 minutes of the podcast that I had uploaded. Zero. And what that shows is it doesn't matter what you put out. People are either, a lot of times, going to believe it or not believe it based off of their political views and their idea on Trump or their idea on Biden. And they are not going to verify anything. It doesn't matter if it's wrong or right. It's either I fucking hate Trump and everything they say against him is 100% correct, or I hate Biden and everything they say against him is 100% correct. And no one ever goes and verifies information anymore. And that is why we have politicians, by the way, who go and actually do lie and spread all kinds of crazy things, like the mainstream media out there saying that Trump threatened basically to kill everyone if he doesn't win the election. And people are believing this and running with it because the media knows and the politicians know, because, by the way, these aren't idiots. Like, they spend millions of dollars studying people's behavior. And if there's one thing that humans are, is we are extremely gullible and susceptible to propaganda. Extremely gullible and susceptible to propaganda. And we have very short-term memories, and we are willing to believe things that are told to us just because we feel as if it's true without actually verifying it. We are very efficient and hardworking people, but we are also very lazy people when it comes to going and doing research and actually finding out for ourselves if things are true. We rely too much on the people that give us information. And that's why we're easily swayed one way or another. Both sides fall guilty to this. But let me get into this story about Tyson Foods. And I'm going to read through my writing on this subject so you can see where my head is at. Now, Tyson Foods, it came out just a couple days ago that they are looking to hire 42,000 refugees and asylum seekers from New York City. The Daily Mail has written an article about this. There are several articles about this. This has been confirmed. They're trying to hire around 42,000 migrants from New York to fill supposedly 52,000 job openings the company has. At the same time, they're shutting down a branch that they have, or a factory that they have in Perry, Iowa, which was around, I believe, 2,000 workers. It may be a little less or a little more. So they're going to eliminate some of their already employees and then hire 42,000 new employees. None of them are American citizens, and none of them, a lot of them don't even have legal status, by the way. And they can, look, I'm not going to go into, oh, well, illegals can't work. There's a whole thing that these a couple nonprofits that I mentioned in this story are actually doing to acquire work permission for these people, okay? So just know that the people that come across the border illegally are definitely gaining work authority in the United States. Now, we all know that Letitia James brought up the lawsuit against Donald Trump in New York and was successful in her lawsuit and levied a $350 million fine in a case where there was no victim. Both parties, Trump and the entities that he borrowed money from, came out profitable and came out happy. And the companies, the banks, even said that they would be happy to do business in the future with Trump again. But that wasn't enough. In fact, Letitia James brought up this civil trial on her own fruition as part of a campaign promise in order to bleed Donald Trump dry of his finances or try to collect some of his assets. Now, this verdict has given her confidence. And since then, she has also filed a civil lawsuit against the NRA. Why? Oh, just for the hell of it, because she doesn't like the NRA. She filed another civil suit against a business for not wanting to serve, I think, a cake to gay customers. And then she filed, most recently, a lawsuit against JBS Foods for violating climate promises and not meeting climate goals that weren't due to be met until 2040, another 16 years. Now, the civil suit she filed against JBS Foods is very, very vague and very broad. In fact, the case, based on how she filed it, carries up to a $5,000 fine for each offense they find on JBS for violating, or it's for misleading consumers. But they didn't mislead anyone because they told everyone that these climate goals would be met by 2040, 16 years from now. And of course, they haven't met them yet because they still have 16 years to meet them. So they haven't misled anybody. But it's up to $5,000 per offense. How many offenses they violated wouldn't be determined until they went to court. So it's an unknown amount, and it could be a substantial amount. Now, how is JBS connected to Tyson Foods? Why does it matter? Where's this connection? So just recently, a lot of people don't know about this. Just recently, Tyson Foods and JBS were sued by workers. This suit, I believe, was filed in... they actually have had several lawsuits filed against them starting in 2021, 2022, and then late 2023. And they both agreed on a settlement for these lawsuits. They were being sued because Tyson and JBS had entered into an illegal secret agreement with each other, conspiring to artificially suppress the wages of workers in their industry. Think about what I just said. I'll say it again. Tyson and JBS, who are two competitors, two of the largest meat producers in the world, were found guilty of violating antitrust laws and entering into an illegal agreement with each other, conspiring to artificially suppress the wages of workers in their industry. Mind you, a lot of Tyson and JBS's workforce are unionized and a part of the UFCW union. However, on February 23rd, both parties requested that the charges be dismissed against them. But the request on that basis was denied because there was sufficient evidence that had been presented proving that the accusations were actually true. Now, Tyson did agree to pay their settlement portion of $72.5 million on January 29th, but JBS refused to sign an agreement to pay their share of the settlement, which was $55 million, until March 7th, which was only 8 days after James filed her suit against them in New York City. Is that a coincidence? Maybe, maybe not. However, only a few days later, it was reported that Tyson Foods, a few days after March 7th, is now looking to hire 42,000 refugees and asylum seekers from New York City by boosting its cooperation in a partnership agreement with a nonprofit organization called Tent. Now, Tent is an organization that was started by the CEO and founder of Chobani Yogurt. And they focus on hiring refugees and asylum seekers in the United States. And they do so by partnering with large private companies like Tyson. And Tyson has had an agreement with them since 2022 where they hired 2,500 refugees and asylum seekers. They also are in a mentorship agreement with Tent, which is where Tyson will actually pay for education, English classes, political help, legal assistance, and other living assistance for these migrants, such as relocation, temporary housing payments, all of that. Tyson will help them and pay for this stuff as part of this mentorship agreement they have with Tent. That's for the migrants. Now, currently, Tyson Foods has around 120,000 employees total, 42,000 of which are migrant workers. They already have 42,000 migrant workers, which makes up roughly one-third of their current employee workforce. If the company were to follow through with its hiring goals, which they openly stated that they are looking to hire another 42,000 migrants from New York, then we need to ask a lot of questions. And there's a couple off the top of my head. Now, supposedly, there's 52,000 job openings for Tyson Foods. The first question that comes to my mind is, if they do hire 42,000 new migrant workers, is it going to be on top of the current 120,000 workforce? Well, they say it is on top of, so they'll be adding to 120,000. But evidence shows otherwise because they just closed a plant in Perry where they laid off 2,000 employees. They closed another plant in Virginia, and I think another one in, I can't remember, but it was another state. So they've closed like three or four down as of lately. But the most recent one that everyone sees is the one in Iowa. So obviously, they're not just adding to their current workforce of 120,000. And if they were, if there are really 52,000 job openings, if they had to close that plant, then why aren't they resettling some of these workers who are willing to in new locations? By the way, they have other plants in the state of Iowa, not far from Perry. They have one in Waterloo. Why is it that they aren't paying, or at least giving the option, to preserve their jobs elsewhere? My next question. How can a company that just settled a lawsuit for manipulating the labor market in its industry in order to suppress wages be allowed to hire migrant workers? Especially, again, when they're at the same time laying off American workers. Now, how does this, again, relate to JBS and Letitia James? After doing some research, I found that JBS Foods has also entered into an agreement with Tent. And when you look up the information on that agreement, it happened extremely recently. They don't have a date, but they don't have the, they only have a hiring agreement. They don't have a mentorship agreement. JBS has not hired any migrants through the Tent organization. They have only recently, as of at least 2023 and maybe just this year, 2024, entered into that agreement with Tent, which shows the intention of maybe using them to hire migrant workers. Now, the refugee crisis in New York has been a very crippling issue for the Democratic leadership and the Democratic Party nationally. The crisis is now becoming extremely costly to taxpayers, and Mayor Adams just claimed recently to be working with nonprofits to provide monetary payments to the migrants in the city. But it's not only unpopular, it's very unsustainable. In order to support the heavy influx of these migrants, there needs to be another option, and coercing private industry and employing them would be the best option. So Tent has several members of its board of directors, when I'm doing some research here, and officers that were not only part of the Clinton Foundation, but they're also part of the Gates Foundation. And one individual caught my eye. His name was Orrin Snyder. Orrin Snyder is one of the most prominent attorneys in the entire world. You may recognize his name because he was the head legal representative for Meta and Mark Zuckerberg during the whole Facebook privacy and election interference trials, which they won. And he also represented Google with their antitrust allegations and other corporations, large corporations, with their antitrust and other violations that they've committed. And he's been very successful in all of them. He works for Gibson and Dunn. As it relates to this matter, Orrin has a connection to Letitia James. Not only is he one of the most respected lawyers in New York City, but he has donated money to Letitia James's campaign, so has Gibson and Dunn. And he's also been a fellow litigator trying to prosecute Donald Trump and his constituents in other civil trials. One of these suits was a very popular one back in 2020-2021, where he represented Black Lives Matter against Trump, claiming that his administration allowed the use of unacceptable force against protesters in 2020. Now, I went to Orrin Snyder's Twitter page, and it shows a long history of reposting tweets with strong opposition to Donald Trump and very favorable bias towards the Democratic Party. So he's obviously very partisan. He sits on the board of directors for the organization Tent, which is, again, the middle person in getting these migrants hired with a company like Tyson. And Tyson openly said that they are going to use Tent to find these 42,000 workers out of New York City. Now, this connection between Mayor Adams, Orrin Snyder, and Letitia James is a very valuable one because Adams needs to find a solution to his migrant problem. James has historically proven that she's willing and able to use legal power to file massive lawsuits against businesses to achieve her desired outcomes, and Orrin provides the connections to do so. And my theory is that Letitia James is using JBS and her lawsuit against them to coerce them into hiring migrants or to coerce them into hiring the employees that Tyson Foods lays off. Now, plot twist, right? Hear me out. So 26,000 of Tyson's employees are members of the United Food and Commercial Workers Union, which is the UFCW. And in an odd irony, they are the ones that sued Tyson earlier this year for unfair labor practices, which is the UFCW union, because the employees would use the union and their money and their legal representation to sue the company if they have been treated unfairly. That's the whole point of a union. So Tyson's was sued by the UFCW. Now, how would a union, let me ask you, why would a union ever be okay with migrant labor replacing any of its members, especially only days after they won a huge lawsuit against the company who was abusing their due payers? Why would UFCW be okay with Tyson laying off 2,000 of its union members while knowing that Tyson is going to hire 42,000 non-union members that are going to be hired for a lower wage? And I'll explain how that works here in a second. The only plausible explanation would be a promise by Tyson or the state of New York, aka Letitia James, that the newly hired migrants will be hired on condition they join the union and pay dues. 42,000 new due-paying members would triple the current Tyson base of 26,000. And increase, or the result, would be not only a significant increase in collected dues for the UFCW, but it would also be a major jump in campaign donations for both Adams and James, as well as the Democratic Party on a national level. You want me to back up this claim? Well, if you go and look at the financial filings for UFCW, you can see that 98% of the tens and tens and tens of millions of dollars that they funnel into political lobbying every single year, either direct to the PACs and campaigns of the candidates, or indirect spending to dark money pools or nonprofits or 501c4 organizations, 98% goes to the Democratic Party. We're talking about millions of dollars. New York, it should also be known, is a forced union state, which is where they're looking at hiring these employees. There's no better way than saying to these migrants, hey, we have a job for you, but you have to join the union. The migrants are going to look at that and say, hey, hell yeah, that's great. We're going to get benefits. We're going to get a decent wage, higher than what we would have worked for anyway. And then they're going to ship them out to whatever location they want. But while Tyson gets to reduce, you know, certain areas like Iowa by 2,000 union members, guess what? They're going to hire 42,000 new union members, and UFCW doesn't care because they're getting a huge jump in revenue from the dues that they collect from these people. They have a huge benefit they're gaining. That money then all gets funneled back to the Democratic Party. What's even more suspicious is that the plant that Tyson recently closed down in Perry, Iowa, which led to around 2,000 UFCW members being laid off, had reached a collective bargaining agreement only 2 years ago. It was a 5-year agreement, so it's still going. And that increased the starting wage to $18 an hour. And then I think it was for after-hour shifts, like night shifts, it was plus $1, so $19 an hour. For the starting wage, the minimum wage, for these Tyson employees at that plant. Guess what the starting wage is for the 42,000 prospected new migrant hires is going to be? It's going to be $16.50 an hour. Again, let me ask you, why would a union be okay with a company who, by the way, just reached an agreement 2 years ago with the people at the Perry plant for a wage increase to $18 an hour? Why would they be okay with the company laying all of those employees off and supposedly still having 52,000 job openings and looking to hire 42,000 new migrant workers at a far more competitive wage rate of $16.50 an hour? This completely backs up not only the idea that migrant work, or when I say migrant work, I'm not talking about legal migrant work. I'm talking about the illegals coming in, which is who they're hiring, the refugees and asylum seekers, and reducing the wages of employees. But in this case, it's reducing the wages of American employees by $18 an hour because they just got laid off. But it's reducing the overall market wage for that industry on average, because you have 42,000 people who are going to be getting paid $16.50 an hour instead of $18 an hour. But Tyson and JBS just got sued for manipulating the wages in the labor market. I think Letitia James is using that illegal agreement that they just got found guilty of, Tyson and JBS. There's some more information still out there that regarding probably the fact that 42,000 of Tyson Foods' employees is already migrant labor. I bet you a lot of them are illegal and aren't actually allowed to be employed, and Letitia James knows this. And so she brings that lawsuit against JBS as a threat to coerce JBS into hiring the employees that are being laid off in Iowa in the Perry factory and other areas by Tyson, because guess what JBS did literally 1 or 2 days later after the Perry plant was going to close down and they laid these workers off from Tyson? They held in Perry, Iowa, a job fair for those 2,000 UFCW members that were laid off. So JBS is looking to hire the 2,000 members in Perry, Iowa. They're basically taking on the employees from Tyson, the ones they laid off. So that brings us to another question that's even more puzzling, and I think fits my theory here, is why would JBS, who is a competitor of Tyson, ever be okay with hiring Tyson's layoffs that have a minimum wage rate of $18 an hour because they're UFCW union members, right? They've already had this agreement in place. Why would they be okay with hiring them at $18 an hour knowing that Tyson is going to hire 42,000 migrants at a more competitive wage rate of $16.50? Everything in this situation goes against basic economics and free competition between two competitors. And the only plausible explanation is that there's collusion. And there's either collusion between all three parties here, Letitia James, Tyson, and JBS. And JBS didn't want to play ball. So Letitia James says, because again, hiring these employees at a higher rate, you know, is not very competitive. And it's like, hey, you know, we just got sued. We just got caught for trying to manipulate the labor wage market in our industry with Tyson, like in partnership with Tyson. And now you want us to hire Tyson's employees that they're allowed to lay off so that Tyson can come and hire 42,000 new union members. And you want us to, you know, at a much cheaper rate, by the way, than us. We can't compete with that. And Letitia James says, well, you can't? Well, guess what? We're going to sue you for, you know, not meeting climate goals that aren't due to be met in another 16 years, and it's going to be extremely expensive. And we know that, you know, you have already hired these illegal migrants. We know that we know more details about this illegal partnership you had with Tyson regarding the labor market. And I think Tyson is looking back and they're like, oh shit, they do know a lot about, you know, they do know more details about this. And again, Tyson could be colluding with Letitia James against JBS. But there's no company in the world that is sane, that is okay with being forced to pick up the UFCW labor union due payers that get laid off at one company who was getting a minimum wage rate of $18 an hour, knowing that that other company is getting off the hook and going and hiring cheaper labor. There has to be something in it for JBS. There has to be either a positive or negative incentive here. And I think that this whole thing is just a giant collusion, and there's a lot of shady shit going on. You know, the justification behind Tyson Foods closing down the Perry factory was that it became too difficult to keep it open and find labor and make it make sense financially to operate the night shift in a 24-hour shift in Perry, Iowa. Now, if that's true, then you would either that, you know, you lay off these employees and you try and find them and pay to relocate these employees and have them fill the other 52,000 job openings that you have at your company, right? You would think. Or JBS comes and picks up those employees and uses them as local work in their own factories. But then when you go and you read the article about the job fair that JBS had for the recently laid off Tyson workers, JBS was offering to pay relocation fees. So they are even offering to not employ these individuals in that state. So it's not like, well, you know, there's just no work for Tyson in the state of Iowa, but there's work for JBS in the state of Iowa. So these people who live here are just going to pick up where they left off at a new company. same union. No. In fact, JBS is actually going to have to look at relocating a lot of these individuals. No different than Tyson would. So they're 100% just taking up the responsibility of these workers that Tyson had responsibility for. And that, you know, on behalf of the union, because the union has to do their deal and make sure that these people have a job. So there's a lot of power being exercised over JBS by not only UFCW, but also Tyson and the state of New York. Like this, again, I'm still working a lot of this out, but as I read and dig into this, it gets darker and darker, and it just, it's crazy, these connections, and no one is talking about this. No one's talking about this at all. And all at the same time, Tyson, who has done things like, by the way, they had had several lawsuits against him during COVID for forcing vaccine mandates and all this stuff, right? Like, Tyson has been that bad entity. They're going to add 42,000 new due-paying members because they're going to hire them in a forced union state. Not only at a reduced wage, which backs up the entire idea that migrant labor reduces American wages, they're doing it, but they're going to hire them as union workers. These people are going to pay union dues, and all of that increased money is going to go right back to the Democratic Party, because 98% of this union's political spending, which was, again, like, it was like 30 or 40% of their total spending annually went to politics, 98% goes to the Democratic Party. Letitia James is doing nothing but using legal law, not legal lawfare, it's illegal lawfare, to get money, because guess where all of Donald Trump's money that he has to pay her is going to go? It's going to go right to the state of New York because there are no other victims. And they're going to use it to just achieve whatever crazy freaking objective they want to achieve. So we're going to talk about this more and more. If you want to go and read about this, I have all this written out on the Substack. So you can get, I have the links, everything. And I'll have that published later today or tomorrow. And this is something, I can't believe no one is talking about this though.